upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
And I am John.
I want to say a quick little prayer and we'll get going.
Yes, Father in heaven, thank you so much. Thank you just for everything that you've done for us, the sacrifices that you've given, the blood that you paid. Father, we also want to, today being Memorial Day, we want to thank you, Father, for the men and women who sacrificed themselves to give us the freedom to do what we're doing right now, which is to talk about you, to worship you, and to love you in such an open way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Whew. Okay. So, Mavs, baby.
3-0 on the T-Wolves, yes. Looking to go to the finals, yeah. For only the third time in franchise history. Kyrie and Luka are looking really good together right now. They're growing.
Can't take anything away from Texas women's softball either.
Whew, they had a battle against a 16 seed in A&M, but, you know, big rival. A&M's going to be good over the next few years. They came away with it, though, and all champions get tested at some point. So if you want to be a champ, you're going to have to go through some adversity. Yeah. They found a way to get it done. Yeah. So now they're going into basically the final eight.
Yeah, Alabama snuck in there.
Did they beat Tennessee?
They beat Tennessee, yes.
Wow, that game was in delay last night. I didn't get to watch it.
Yep.
So, and the Stars are 1-1 with the Edmonton Oilers going back to Edmonton, still with a chance to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Rangers cannot stay healthy,
no.
And it's not worth talking about it right now.
I saw where Kyle Larson
raced in the Indy 500.
Dude, and like right before it was – I mean, I don't know how he – at one point he was in first, finished 18th, but at one point he was in first. I was like
– yeah, my dad loves to watch the Indy 500. He's not a huge race guy, but he does like to watch it because it's his right around his birthday. It's always around his birthday. So he always wants to watch the Indy 500. I thought it was today, which is Monday, on Memorial Day. I thought they always did the race on Memorial Day. And then our brother Kevin was like, I called him to ask him about why number five in NASCAR wasn't Kyle Larson. And he's like, he's in the Indy race right now. And I was like, oh, crap. So I go tell Dad, and he comes back. He's like, Larson's leading with like 15 to go. I was like, what?
Yeah. Did you see him get on? He got in a helicopter and flew to the race.
So, wow.
Yeah. So immediately as soon as that was over, he jumped in a helicopter and they were flying him out. It's, I guess, because he could sub in his car.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Good for him. He won the Xfinity race on Saturday, then raced in the Indy 500. Apparently did pretty well. They were kind of surprised because he's not acclimated to that kind of car or whatever. But,
yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah, that was really cool, especially for him to be leading at some point.
Yeah, you
know? I guess he had to make a unexpected pit.
Something had to have happened, a failure of some sort.
Yeah.
Those cars are a lot different than what they got.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like, where did he come up with this pit crew? I mean, like
– I'm sure that team has been together.
That
crew's been together. I don't know who he was racing for. I have no clue, man. I don't dislike racing. I actually do like racing. I don't focus a lot of attention on it. I'll pay a whole lot of attention, but you know, since going and all that kind of stuff and hanging out with brother Kevin, I do pay more attention than I ever did in the past.
Yeah,
you know, so I do enjoy watching it some.
Yeah.
Especially the road race stuff. I mean, that's a different level of skill than going in circles. I know going in circles is not easy either, man, especially not going 180 miles an hour.
Yeah. Well, you got to think, man, can you imagine being in one of those cars and it's like when we were down there, it was like it felt like it was hotter than friggin' napalm. You know what I mean?
And it was face melting.
They were stuck in one of those cars that's, you know, running probably 225 degrees.
Yep. And it's hot down that on that track. Oh, you know, it's brutal. Yeah. I can only imagine. Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna downplay the fact that those dudes are athletes, man. That takes us.
Oh yeah.
You know, you don't see any fat drivers,
no.
man.
No. Yeah. They're all seem to be in pretty good shape.
So, yeah.
What do you got,
man? We've talked about a lot of things over the course of, 25 episodes now today. We're doing something a little different because you're about to go on a long trip.
Yes.
Out of the country, which is cool. I've been out of the country one time in my life.
Yeah.
Apparently our family wants to go on a cruise.
Yes.
And my passport has expired, so I have to get a new passport.
So,
this is going to be... We're doing things a little bit differently. We're not real sure how it's going to come off. We are going to have a guest in the next episode. So we're recording back-to-back days. So we're sitting here on Memorial Day. We're going to get one in, and then we're going to get another one in tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that always presents a little bit of a challenge, right? Because it gets...
Kind of milk the well dry, you know what I mean, at that point.
Well, we spit out pretty much everything that's been going on inside of our lives or that we're seeing around us in one session.
Yeah.
And then a week later, we do it again, right? To do it 2 days in a row.
It's not a whole lot of time for you to recuperate.
No, or to get.
Unless something crazy happens.
Right. Now, God is good, and we feel like he guides this thing, and he gives us, every single time we come into this thing feeling a little bit apprehensive, something good happens.
Yeah.
So, not too concerned about it, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll be all right. We'll be all right.
Yeah, we've been spitballing some ideas on doing some other things, maybe a little bit more unique. But it just seems like all conversation right now is revolving around community.
Yeah.
It just feels like that. Like in our last couple of recordings, we talked a lot about our men's group and about how suddenly we've been struggling a little bit about just feeling really distracted or maybe even a little disconnected. And then funny how it all kind of coincides with the time when we took a break from Bible study, our men's group, for a month.
Yeah. Well, you take into consideration the fact that, like what Richie was talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
The having that community, those people to kind of lift you up when you're going through some things.
Yeah.
You really take that for granted when you're not doing it.
Yeah.
You kind of lose track of what's happening. I mean, like, we're on our fourth week right
now.
Yes,
yes.
With no small group.
Yes.
That's 4 weeks of not being able to bounce things going on in your life off someone else's head. You know what I mean?
Right. And we do talk to each other and all that kind of stuff, and we've been talking. I try to reach out to all of our members and members, like we're a church of our own, but you know, like the people that are involved, and it just, I guess, seriously, the thought that we take these things for granted, you know what I mean? Because sometimes, I don't know about you, me personally, I get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm being pulled in too many directions, and I get frustrated, and I'm like, look, I need time to myself. I need time to not have to focus.
Well, you also need time, and this not to sound selfish or anything, but you need time to kind of get your feet planted for the things that you enjoy doing for yourself too, you know?
Right. I mean, so yeah, you do, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
I don't think God frowns upon that or anything like that. But sometimes having that mindset makes it brings frustration, right? It's like, gosh, I don't want to do this today. I don't want to do Bible study today. I would rather just chill, you know, or I don't want to do this couples group or
It's a little different for you because you host all of these things that we do.
It is, but
if something's going on with me, it's as simple as, hey, brother, I'm not going to be there tonight.
Sure.
You don't have that luxury.
I can. I can cancel it.
Yeah, but you still have five other people that are wanting to come.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. That's fair. I mean, that's
honest assessment of the situation.
You get to the point sometimes where that creates a little bit more pressure because it's like, I don't want to let anybody down.
Yeah.
Right? And it was even hard for me to tell everybody, hey, look, we're not meeting for the entire month of May.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's a good thing, too, that we did because there's been a lot going on in May with graduations and birthdays and all that kind of stuff.
Baby showers and just over and over again
with stuff. And so, yeah, it was the right thing to do, and there's nothing wrong with it. And I feel like here's the problem, and it kind of goes back to what you were talking about maybe last couple of times we talked about with TikTok, how you were like, I'm taking a break so I can focus – more on this. I can refocus myself.
Yes.
Same thing here.
Yeah.
I said that was the reason. I said we need a break. I need a break so I can refocus. And guess what? I have not refocused. Yeah. I've actually been more out of focus.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where it's like, okay. Yes, I guess there's a fine line.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and so, you know, I've had TikTok back for about a week now or so. Since I've gotten it back, I have noticed something different in me.
Yeah.
Because 90% of what pops up on my TikTok is all spiritual belief based. I mean, Christian people, you know, it's Bible quotes, it's motivational speeches, it's stuff like that. I have noticed that I'm kind of digging in a little deeper now. I don't know if that makes sense, but it kind of felt like when I took that away, those little quotes sometimes are like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
You kind of get those little, aha, yeah, that's what I've been doing wrong. Or you kind of get, I don't care what anybody says, sometimes when you hear a motivational quote, you get a lot out of it.
Well, and the thing is like you said, like it may be the only Bible you get that day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You may be the only Bible that somebody sees in a day, and the same for me. And, you know, again, I stay connected because of what we're doing here, right? And the things that we're doing on our social media platforms and stuff like that. Like, I have taken that on myself to – excuse you, all right?
Yeah, sorry.
He's choking on his own water. I take it upon myself to put the content out there and all that kind of stuff. So, and I put it – daily scripture, right? So if we're going to be a Christ-following group and we're going to – try to redeem people or bring people towards Christ, then I feel like we should put scripture out there. And so that keeps me engaged in God's word in some way.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, I'm about streaks, you know, I'm an old video gamer, right? So like accomplishments mean something, you know what I mean? And so like, I don't like to see my streak on my Bible app end, you know, I don't want to start back at zero. It frustrates me. Right. So, and it's not, I don't just open it so that I'll keep the streak. I actually read what it has to say, and I don't like to do the Bible verse of the day stuff on our platforms. You know what I mean? I feel like that's okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna make it.
I feel like that's cheating. You know what I mean?
So you feel like it's the lazy way out?
I really do. I'm not doing any work.
Yeah,
right. I'm not putting in the work, and so that does keep me engaged. But still, my mind has not been focused. You know what I mean? And I think that there's a lot to be said for the fact that we haven't been in our groups.
Yeah.
Even though, look, one of the main reasons we decided we wanted to start doing this specific thing was to try and motivate men to break down their walls and share with other men and create relationships, right? And
we just walked away from 6 relationships for a whole month.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And at that group, don't get me wrong, there's not a whole lot of sharing. You know, there's some.
Yeah.
Well, there have been moments.
You also have to think, too. There's 3 of us that are really engaged in sharing almost at all times. We have a 4th that he's fairly new to the group that he gets interested in sharing.
Yeah.
But you got 3 that's just not their personalities.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're, you know, they don't have the, I don't, they just, I don't, to me, they don't have the comfort level that they need to be able to really share.
Right.
Like, say, you or I do.
Yeah. Well, and the only way that I know to help that and to help them with that is to by being a good example. Yeah. Right. By being a good example and to
let them watch us communicating
and be brave enough to say the things that have to be said sometimes, yeah. You know. And
yeah, sometimes you just got to say the thing that no one else has got the cojones to say. I almost let that one go.
It's never easy. It's not comfortable. Yeah. And the same, again, I think that you spend any time in relationship with God and trying to grow that relationship, you recognize that God is going to challenge you to be outside of your comfort zone. He's not going to let you stay comfortable, because if you stay comfortable, you won't change.
Yeah.
Right. And this is about life change.
I did see a very interesting little bit of information, you know, Shia LaBeouf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was talking about his growth. Mm-hmm. And his maturity, and he was saying that in order for you to mature, you have to grow.
Right.
In order for you to grow, part of you has to die.
Yep.
He was explaining it in a way that, you know, at the end of every season, crops all look like they die. They're all fallen.
Yeah.
Their past is their past now. He said it needs to be the same way with humans. In order for you to grow, or for you to mature, you have to grow. And in order to grow, you know, part of you has to die. And that's letting go of your old life.
Right. It kind of speaks back to talking about baptism, right? And like the symbolic part of that is dead to your old self and arisen in Christ. I hit the microphone. And arising in Christ, you know what I mean? And like how that's partly a symbolic thing, but when you are really leaned into it and engaged with it, which is part of the conversation we were having last week about just being engaged in something, you know, it's a really different thing to read the Bible.
Yeah.
And then to engage with the Bible, like to lean into it. Those are two different things.
Yeah.
You can read the Bible for information's sake and not lean into it.
Yeah. I think that's why I have to have it. I have to have my Bible app read to me.
Yeah,
because when someone's reading it to me, like I said before, if it's something I don't quite understand, I read it while it's being read to me.
Right. The only part I have, and I don't mind doing that too. One of the times that I said I read the Bible, I'd actually listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, I think that the voice has to be engaging. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be a voice that's easy. I like me reading the Bible to you. Like, I don't know why that would be comfortable, or like, or like, I don't know why anybody would want to listen to me like read the Bible necessarily. But it's what we do.
It's not just that you're reading it though. I mean, every time you are reading it, it's just like my Bible app reading it to me. If I have a question, it's a lot easier for me to be like, hey, whoa, hold on.
Stop right there.
Yeah, I need to know. Like,
yeah,
elaborate here.
Yeah, that's the difference.
You come back with you. I mean, you dumb it down for me where I can understand it. You know what I mean? Even with this, my Bible app. It don't dumb it down for me. I just have to now. I have to intentionally be like, okay, now, and I'm reading it in my head while they're reading it. I'm like, sometimes I may get the answer I'm looking for. Sometimes I'm just like, well, we're gonna have to go move past that part.
We'll come back to that later.
Yeah.
Well, and that's something else about, you know, you're talking something different too about like engaging with God's word. It's not a one time only thing, right?
Yeah.
My son needs
to be on repeat.
My son and I have been talking recently. He's got a friend that's, I don't want to say anything bad about him or anything, but like, he's not a believer. But he claims to have read the Bible, and so he doesn't need to read it again. And I'm like, well, you're missing the entire point.
Yeah.
Because, like I've said, I've read Romans probably a dozen times, and every single time I've read it page to page, all the way to the end, something different jumped off at me.
See, and that's something that I feel like I need to do. I need to pick a book, sit down, not at one time, but sit down, really read it, really try to understand it.
Yeah.
And then after I comprehend that book, then I need to move to another book.
Yeah.
Instead, what I do is it has these daily Bible study things.
Those are good too.
But it changes. It goes from book to book to book.
Yeah, I mean,
last week it was Luke.
Yeah.
this, I don't know what it'll be this week, but the week prior to that was Corinthians. And then the week prior to that was John. And then it went to Matthew. I mean, it's like, all over the place. And so I'm going to read that. I'm going to do that weekly Bible study thing on here.
Yeah.
And with it being all over the place, I'm going to totally forget.
Yeah.
Not every single thing, because sometimes it's like, I've heard that or I've read that. Or
Yeah.
It's like, but I don't know where, because I've been in
five. You're all over the place.
I've been in five different books, you know.
In the last month or whatever.
Yeah, in the last month. So it's kind of hard for me to really nail down where I heard it or where I read it.
Somebody told me, I can't remember what book we were talking about, but we were talking about one of the books of the Bible, and I think I was telling him, man, I'm not real sure. That one doesn't. It's good, but, like, I don't know. It doesn't really speak to me. And he said, you need to read it slow.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was like, what do you mean read it slow? You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't until a little bit later that I recognized, like, he was saying, look, you're just reading it to read it. You need to slow down.
Yeah.
And literally engage with it word for word.
Like you're studying for a test in school.
Yeah, slow down. Yeah, like. Because I can be a fast reader. No, I'm not. There are people that are way faster readers than me because I get so far. I'm ADD, right? So, like. Yeah.
Your eyes are scrolling out too far in front while you're reading.
And I'll have to go back to somewhere, start back over. You know what I mean? Like, it happens all the time. But.
I typically do that when I'm talking.
The words get out before the thought process. Yeah.
And then I just realize that I just babbled on about nothing for the last 15 minutes. You know what I mean?
But what it really, it just, again, that's talking about engaging with it, right? I wrote something down a minute ago. We were listening to a previous episode, kind of, and I was already processing, like, this community thing, right? And I thought, you know, you've probably heard that deal before about if I were the devil, and it was...
I've heard that.
Yeah.
If I were the devil, I would take...
Paul Harvey was his name.
I would take the Bible out of schools.
Yeah.
I would pin the children, or I'd pin the mother against the father.
Yeah. To me, the decay of society has
Western
been...
Western society.
Yes. The society we know.
Yeah.
Right? The society we know. The decay of society is the decay of relationships.
Yeah.
We have taken... We were talking about choose your heart and about how it's so much easier to get married than it is to get divorced, right? And that if it was harder to get married, those relationships would be valued. This is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the decay of relationships. Our society is falling apart because we have devalued relationships in all ways, not just marriages, parental relationships, friendly relationships, brotherly and sisterly relationships, relationships with our friends, relationships with our coworkers, relationships are everything.
Yeah.
Right.
But you also have to look at how things have changed just from the time that me and you were kids.
I know.
Fast. Look at how fast everything's changed. Now, I cannot remember where I want to say Apple News. You know the little thing down there on the computer where you go to the weather and it brings up, go over there to your sun or your moon or whatever that is. And it brings up all these news stories.
Yeah.
It might have been on there. But they were talking about kids, high school kids, when they first get their license and they're going places by themselves.
Yeah,
that they have no people skills. They've been so contained in their rooms and stuff that they get anxiety just ordering food.
Yep.
So
I can see that.
And you start wanting to talk about the fact that maybe these people are going to be people that we're going to be working with. We don't have that problem.
Right.
So that puts us in an awkward situation with them because they don't have the confidence to talk to anybody.
Right.
You know, because they've been so sheltered in their own homes behind the screen of video games and stuff like that.
You were talking about phones last time. Like,
yes.
Look, social media has its place, and it can be good in ways.
It can be, but it's not used for good in most ways.
It's not. It's not. But the thing is people are developing relationships without developing relationships, right?
They're developing relationships with people that they're never going to meet. And they're never really going to know.
They have no idea how to actually communicate with a person, person to person. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I didn't raise – I'm a reclusive by nature, I would say. I will lock myself away and not see people for a long time and be fine. You know what I mean? And so my boys have inherited that too. So they can be a little bit antisocial and things like that. And shame on me because I didn't give them phones at early ages and stuff like that. And we didn't do the whole social media stuff and all that. But still, I didn't teach them. You know, because, like, I can be that way, but I can also be social. I know how to.
Yeah.
I know how to look a man in his eyes and talk to him, and I know how to shake a man's hand and all that kind of stuff. Now, I did not teach my boys those things, but I'm just saying, like, I didn't focus on that. I didn't think it was important. I thought it was just kind of naturally part of the thing. You know what I mean? And
well, my wife, she takes a very interesting approach with my son.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it comes time to order food and stuff like that, when we go sit down and eat, he just wants to point at the menu and one of us order.
Yep.
And I used to do that. I used to be guilty of giving him that crutch where he could just point at it and be like, I want a cheeseburger or whatever. I'd be like, he wants a cheeseburger. You want ketchup? Yeah, he wants. I'm doing the communicate. He's answering me. They can clearly hear. Why isn't he doing it? You know what I mean? And my wife is really kind of brought him to a place now that he knows he don't order with his face down anymore. Because when he first started, he would order like looking at, like staring at the table.
Right.
It's like, look at her, dude. While you're talking to her, look at her.
Yep.
Tell her what you want. Tell her everything you want on it, everything you don't, whatever. And order your drink.
Yeah.
Now he's starting to really kind of come around.
Yeah.
But that was not because of me. My wife was the one that pointed that out. Like, dude, look at, he don't even know how to order food.
Right. Well, and you start to recognize that you're never going to get what you want if you can't talk to somebody in their face. If you can't, or if you cannot say it, you're never going to get it, right? Yeah. You're in a place where they're going to give you whatever you want for a price, right? Whatever you ask for, you're going to get it. And what did you just say?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, he wants a Sprite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, and you do. You have to make them. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Like, and I'm, again, like, it's probably good that they got away from me in a little bit. Like, I don't know how that. I was like, I don't know how these kids are ever going to be able to go to a job interview or, you know, go to a restaurant on their own without me.
Yeah,
they figured it out though.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's the other side of it. Like, it's just the way things are designed now, we have taken relationships out of this, the whole thing. And look, we've talked multiple times about the greatest command is love, right?
Yes.
To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, spirit, and to love others as you love yourself. Well, and if you are loving people, you won't be breaking all those rules, right? If you love somebody, you're gonna have a hard time explaining to me that you murdered somebody that you love. If you really love them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You can put on the show. That's typically what happens with people that murder people. They're usually murdered by the people, they're some of the people they're closest to, and it's a show. Mm-hmm. Oh, this person would never hurt me. They love me.
Yeah.
They will.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because there are some narcissistic psychopaths out there that
there are people that have
playing terrible, the game.
They have terrible issues. You know, for no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But if there's anything that we can do, if we can motivate each other, look, this whole thing starts with Christ, right? And yes, we want relationship with Christ, and that's how it all works. It starts there. But man, we got to fix relationships with each other.
Yeah.
And we're talking all relationships, not just marriages. Marriages are very, very important. And again, we've made it so hard to get divorced, but so easy to get married.
Yeah.
And it should be the opposite. You know, marriage should be difficult to do. Yeah. It should be hard to get to do.
Yeah.
You should have to earn that right to do that.
Yeah.
But we'll give a license to anybody. And somebody will marry you. They don't look. You asked me about getting ordained. It's 5 minutes.
Yeah. It literally took me 30 seconds. I was filling it out sitting at this table.
Yeah, and it's legal.
30 seconds later, I was like, holy crap,
and
dude.
It's legal.
I'm legit now.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? You see how easy that was and how devaluing to the institution that is?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, yeah, and then you – I'm fresh still. You know,
yeah.
I'm really fresh at all this still. The fact that I was asked to marry somebody is a huge honor.
Yeah.
But also, too, at the same time, I've been going through mental replays of what I'm going to do. And I'm like, I'm scared. Like, crapless, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm terrified. But it's not because I have to get up there and talk. It's because I want it to have the right kind of presentation. I want it to be professional where everybody's like, oh, that was cool. You know, I don't want it to be like, well, who's this idiot?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So
for it to
have been so easy for me really is a surprise. Like, holy, like this was, I mean, 30 seconds and $65.
Yep. And now you're legal. You can sign anybody's marriage license in the state of Texas.
Yeah. That's
actually I think it goes for all states. But you see what I'm getting at? Like, again, how devaluing to the actual institution, to the actual relationship is that?
Yeah.
The fact that I didn't earn that, I just paid for it.
Yeah. That's exactly what I did. I mean, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. The difference is, like, I take that very seriously. Right. And I think you will, too. It's like, you know, this isn't lip service for me. This is real. This is really me.
Yeah.
And everything that we do here is very really who we are. Like, and if we see it in a bad way or not a right way, I want somebody to help guide us a different direction, you know, but we're going to say it from our own experience.
Yeah.
You know
that's the same that I hope for what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the exact same thing. I really, I'm sure there's people out there that have had a lot of thoughts about what is this dude doing or what is this dude talking about. I want to know, because I want to be able to correct that. I want it to be more informational than entertaining.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be entertaining in some ways because it's two goons in here doing this, but the informational aspect of it is what I want it to be, and now. You may have a different thought, but that's me personally. That's what I want out of this. That's what I would like to see for us to get out there is the informational side of it.
Yeah. I want to love people, man. That's it. I want to love people and love them. how will people know that we are his disciples if we love each other?
Yeah.
And that's everybody. We love everybody, right?
Because God loves them just as much as he loves me and you.
I was talking to my wife about this earlier because we were talking about a different situation outside of home and all that kind of stuff. And I said, look, man, James lays it out perfectly. With the same tongue, you curse, or you praise God and curse his creation with the same mouth and the same tongue.
Yeah.
That's a no-no.
Yeah.
You can't praise God and curse his creation.
Yeah.
That person that you dislike or that you don't agree with is his creation just as much as you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It goes the same way with gossip.
Oh, my goodness, man. Why do you think gossip is such a dangerous thing?
I mean, you can
slander.
You can really change your outlook on a person without even knowing anything about them by listening to other people gossip about them. And it may be someone that you would have been best friends with, but you're listening to all these people say these things about someone, and you're getting involved in the gossip, and it will totally change your mindset on who they are.
Yep. Look, man, I can imagine just being who I am. There's plenty of people that have a lot of not very nice things to say about me. But the people that form opinions about me are people that, without ever having spent any time with me, you know what I mean? They're making a sad mistake.
Yeah, they're making assumptions, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because, look, I understand that I'm not well received most of the time because I am kind of bold and I am kind of willing to just say what needs to be said.
Well, it's not just that. I think what,
And I've said this a freaking 100 times. More times than not, you're just misunderstood.
Right.
It's like once – it took me a while. Once I got to know you, I realized that's those – when you're coming out and you're saying those things, that's not – like you're not attacking. That's just how it is and that's how you see it.
It's just because I love you, man.
It's just – that's just what it is. You know, it's not – and a lot of people just like, what?
Who's this jag wagon?
You're just misunderstood.
Yeah.
That's the that's how I think it is for 90% of the times that you may feel like someone is kind of jumping to a negative conclusion about you. It's not because you've done something or said something. You're just not understood. Yeah. And that goes back to gossip too. I mean that you can take that the same way as you can take how people are judging you. Gossip is just people forming opinion and that's misunderstood.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's very encouraging to recognize that what other people say really doesn't matter. You know what I mean? And I think everybody should recognize that. Like, there are people that live their lives totally motivated by what other people think about them. And if somebody doesn't like them, it's devastating.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The people pleasers.
Ooh, man. And look, I'm a people pleaser, really.
I am too, but only to an extent.
I got limits.
Yeah. Once my limits reached and I realized, like, I can't make this person happy, it's game over because that's when I really start to flip the switch from one extreme to the other. And then it's now I'm being a total douche to you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Chode sucker. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think about I don't know. I'm probably being presumptuous about myself, but like I think that feeling as though I wasn't loved and I wasn't liked as a young person makes me really not give a damn whether you like me now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you know me and you are actually in relationship with me, you will love me.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Yeah.
Because I am honest, but I'm not mean. I'm just telling you that I'm telling you it because I love you and I want to help you.
I 100% have to agree with that.
Yeah.
For me, when we really started kind of hanging out and we really started to kind of we started doing everything together.
Yeah.
When all that started happening, I started to realize that you were for me.
Right.
Like
you were
there for me. Anytime I needed it, if I had a question, I could call you. If I was going through an emotional situation where I was just kind of losing my mind, I could call you. I mean, there's things that I started to realize that really kind of started to change the way that I viewed not you personally, but our relationship. Kind of started to realize, like, okay, hey, yes, this is someone that I can go to.
Right.
You've mentored me. You've helped me. You baptized me. You really were the creation for this walk that I'm walking now. If it wasn't for you, this – I can honestly tell you if it wasn't for you, I probably wouldn't be doing any of this. I know I wouldn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that is a huge importance. When you lay it out like that, that's how important relationships are.
Yeah.
I'm a completely different person if had I not started really engaging with you and you started inviting me to these certain things. I'm a totally different creation.
Right. It's interesting. This would be – I actually was going to save this for a bumper sticker wisdom, but it's something I found the other day, and I just have to share it because it's just perfect for what we're talking about right now. And it says, surround yourself with people who fight for you in rooms you are not in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, if you actually grow a relationship
– that person will do that for you.
Bro, I dare somebody to start talking crap about my brother when I'm in the room and he's not there.
Yeah.
I dare you.
Yeah.
I dare you to do that with anybody that I care about.
Yeah.
I dare you to do that with people I don't know. I will tell people.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Well, you've heard me say it multiple times. I will not name drop somebody because they're not here to defend themselves.
Right. I'll prop somebody up.
I'm the world's worst about popping off real quick just out of the blue when I'm angry.
Right.
But I won't sit here. I'm not going to sit here on our show and say anything bad directed towards a person and drop their name when they're not sitting in this chair right beside me to defend themselves.
Yeah. We may talk about facts, things that are actual, that can be proven, that we're not making stuff up,
yeah,
kind of stuff, but never, ever.
I think I did drop Kim Kardashian's
I know. We've dropped a couple of famous people's names, but, I mean, we were just talking about their situation, yeah, right, financially. Like, they're the wealthiest of the wealthy, and imagine them going from all to nothing, yeah, or the opposite, going from nothing to all.
Yeah.
Like, how that really changes people, yeah, man, and how it can affect
somebody.
It's
a whole different character at this point.
Right. And you have – okay, so we were talking – you talk about somebody who grew up without anything, but they had a special skill. They had a – they were an athlete, a singer, a great actor, whatever. And they skyrocket, and now they have everything, but nobody was ever around to teach them how to handle it.
Yeah.
What happens a lot of the, yeah, time is bad, stinking things happen. You know what? Mike Tyson.
We talked about Henry
Ruggs. Think about Mike Tyson, bro, and he would be honest. I would guarantee you I would be terrified if he were sitting at that chair just because he scares me. Yeah. Just in general, but, I mean, he's that guy. He would honestly admit that, you know, yeah, what I mean? Like,
he started making millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, and he had no guidance.
He came from nowhere, man. Yeah. He had nothing. He was 19 years old.
Spike Lee his agent? Who was the...
No, Don King.
Don King, yeah, that's who
the
it was.
Promoter.
Yeah, the promoter, yeah. I don't know where I got Spike Lee.
Terrible person, Don King, with his freaking hair.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, it's just... That's what we were talking about. But when you think about it, like, take you and me. I think that because of where we come from and the fact that we've crawled out of where we came from to be where we are right now, which is not wealthy, yeah, by any stretch of the word.
No.
We are blessed, but we aren't sitting here rolling around in money.
No.
If we were to then become next level financially, I think that we would be able to handle it differently because we've walked a certain walk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've learned that every single dime that we have earned, that's everything that we have.
Yeah.
Is everything that we've earned. Yeah. You know what I mean? All the people we've actually helped throughout life, you know what I mean? Like, we earned every single dime.
Yeah.
You know, nobody gave me anything.
Yeah. Well, you talk about being blessed. We're tremendously blessed.
Tremendously.
So blessed, in fact, that I was really going through some financial struggle and some financial stress, and I was presented an opportunity to get out of a situation,
yeah,
where I was, I mean, that I was tanked, and yeah, I was just tanked.
Yep. And you were crushed under a vice.
Yeah. Opportunities arose, and
That's your talent, though, that got that. Yeah. God gave you.
Yes, the talent that God gave me that really put me in a situation to, okay, here we go. Yeah. A little bit of breathing room. And then, you know, of course, I had a truck that I purchased for my company that was starting to really drain me, too. And another opportunity come up, which I think is this one's just as nice as that one.
Yeah. In the last 18 months that you and I have been really connected. Like, I've seen you F with that truck and put it in the shop like 4 times. Yeah. And I'm like, bro, when are you going to burn that thing to the ground?
And it's $3,000 every time it goes in.
Yeah.
And it's like, on top of that, you know, paying the payment I was paying, it was like, dude, enough is enough. I mean, I can't even justify it anymore.
It's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable.
Right.
You know, through the grace of God, he presented an opportunity for me to get out of that situation. And it's
worked out.
Yeah,
it's changed things a little bit. You know, we've struggled a little bit schedule-wise because there's been some difficulty there and stuff like that. But I do believe that that comes around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That changes itself over time. And
you look at the whole situation. I've been getting out of there 5:15.
Not when you started.
No, not when I started.
you were staying awful late.
Well, I was also trying to get my feet on the ground. I was really trying to get things going. In this last month that I've worked there, I've gone from chaotic, total stress. What did I just get myself into? Blah blah. You know.
to
it's all easy.
You got this.
That's easy. Used to take me up until past lunchtime to get all my paperwork done every morning. By 10 o'clock, and that's me just kind of just not even really just sitting down and hammering through it. That's me like get up, go get another cup of coffee. go shoot the crap a little bit in an office next door, come back, get back on my paperwork, and I'm done by 10 o'clock every morning now. It's like,
yeah.
But then that's when all the.
The only thing, really, the main difference, besides the fact that we've had a couple of schedule hiccups, is that we don't communicate as much.
Yeah.
Anymore, like we, yeah. Because you're just not as free. Yeah. As you once were, and like I don't want to. I know you're at work. I'm at work. You know what I mean? Like, I can't always just answer a text or see a text and go or whatever. Like, not always.
Yeah.
And I know that same for you. I would say that that's probably the main difference is just that's changed.
Yeah.
See, I think that's really kind of the main difference between what was going on before. But I will say, too, though, temperament, attitude, stress level, I can tell the difference.
Oh yeah.
On you by a long ways. Yeah.
By a mile.
But go ahead.
My wife has now the things that I'm stressed out about are different. Like,
yeah,
you know, we had this trip planned long before I ever thought about doing this career shift.
Yeah.
So this was kind of not necessarily a burden. It was just like now I have to kind of mix this in when I'm just now starting to get my feet wet, you know, like really yeah. starting to get my footing and really take off. But it's going to be well needed, you know, by the time we get ready to go, it's going to definitely be appreciated. It's just the stress of getting to that point where we do go.
Yeah. I mean, you need it. Needed, like we just talked about. We were just talking about how groups, like we took long break from our groups and stuff like that, and kind of, I don't know, like that's not a bad thing, but kind of like you know how we started noticing that it was affecting some things. Yeah. But we've also identified that maybe we have things as leaders in that group that we need to do to adjust yeah. our relationships with them. Like we talked
about not including other members of the group.
Like, yeah.
You know, me and you talk to each other every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we went on this trip to Dallas with our brother.
Yeah.
And we've kind of haven't really gone above and beyond to be there for anyone else. You know, yeah. It's like we talked about our group is cliquish.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is a shameful thing to say, but it's the truth.
And it can't help itself. That's sociology, which is just group dynamics. The psychology of groups is that's just kind of a natural thing. The bigger the group gets, the more likely that is going to happen.
That's definitely going to be the case.
But I also think that was kind of motivated by the setup, the way that we were doing it, because we were watching The Chosen, right? Yeah. So, like, I only have so much space in my living room, but my dining room is right there with the living room. It's like all one big space.
It also didn't help that the three biggest introverts we have are the ones sitting in the dining room. You know what I mean?
The ones sitting in the back.
Yeah, that also doesn't help. But
it doesn't. That's true.
You know, typically I walk in, sit right next to you. Mm-hmm. Dad sits next to you, and then Tanner sits next to him.
Have you ever thought about why that happened, why we sat that way? I sit in the same seat every time. Yeah, that's my chair.
I think the only two people that ever really changed seats was me and Dad for a little while. When I was still going through back issues, but
yeah,
when it was first coming about and they were still trying to figure out what was going on before I started getting prescriptions and stuff like that, or before I learned how to self-medicate for it, you know. Me and him would trade. He'd let me have that comfy chair every now and then, but then he would sit in the chair that I sit in.
Right.
You know what I mean? But other than that, it was like everyone just walked in one day, and that was
it's just kind of where everybody landed.
Where it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Being again, like just me being like a psychology, sociology guy, like that stuff interests me. There's a reason that happened. psychologically speaking, subconsciously. And some of it is because of the introverted thing. You know, Tanner's a big, bold presence, and he's loud, and you know what I mean? Like, he kind of – I think that that's kind of exactly how that happens. And I think that you sat next to me in my mind. This is how I rationalize that thought process or that subconscious thing, is because you always want to ask me questions.
Yeah.
Right? So you sat right there so that you could be like, what was that?
Yeah, because when I wasn't sitting by you – because when it first started, I don't think y'all had that chair sitting there. Because remember, y'all still had that couch.
Yes.
I would sit on the couch, and you two would sit in the chair, and there wasn't nothing over there.
Yeah.
And then after everything got rearranged.
Yeah.
But before, I was having to like talk over Dad.
Yeah.
To talk to you, and you'd have to pause it.
Yeah.
Now that I'm sitting right there beside you, you never had to really pause. You would pause it if the conversation between me and you really started to take off, like,
yeah.
But if I just had a question, I would just look at you and be like, hey, what is this?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, no, blah, 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 blah. And then you'd never hit the pause button, you know? We'd just keep it going. So, yes, that makes total sense.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I see things that way just because of my background. But I think that, again, it just.
It's interesting to me that this whole conversation has been about community and relationships.
Yeah.
And because that's all it was yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's really all it's been
talking about this for about
this is like 3 weeks now, I think. And I think that we're continuing to recognize something, right? Yeah. The question becomes, because this is how life is. Right, we go through this, and this is how relationship with God works.
Let me guess.
Go ahead.
Are we going to fix it?
How? What do you do with it?
Yeah.
Right? It's great to get information. The question is, what do you do with the information, right? So, okay, you've identified it. God has allowed you, he's given you wisdom and allowed you to identify something that isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's not good.
Yeah.
Right. And we know that relationships are important. If you don't think relationships are important, read Mark chapter 2 when Jesus healed the paralyzed man. Right. It wasn't the paralyzed man's faith that healed him. No, it was his friend's faith. Yeah. Right. So your friends are important.
Yeah.
Right. And remember, you know, surround yourself with people that will fight for you in rooms you're not in.
Yeah.
That thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, communities. And this has been a very, very hard lesson for me. And it's still hard for me to apply that relationships are important. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future, right?
1,000%.
I can't do it by myself, man. The load is too heavy to bear.
Yeah.
Right? Life's weight is too heavy
to
carry by myself. Now, I've done it a long time.
You think you've done it. That's facts.
That's facts. Why you got it? Why you got it? What? Dang.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not sorry. It's good.
That's facts.
That is facts.
You now from your thought perspective, from your eyes, you think you're carrying the load. You ain't carrying the load like you can be. I mean,
yeah,
not by yourself.
Yeah, many hands make light work.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Did we not have a conversation earlier or like later in the week last week, and you were asking me like, well, what are you thinking? I'm like, man, dude, I gotta take some time to really digest it before I start blurping it out to everybody to get help for it, you know. And that's my biggest problem, because I probably could get through a lot of situations a lot faster if I would just be like, hey, dude, this is really bothering me.
Yep.
But no, I have to put myself through the mental torture of okay, let's comprehend this. Let's comprehend this. Let's comprehend this. We don't need comprehension. It just needs to be taken care of. It doesn't matter why it's happening to me. Let's just stop it from happening to me.
Yeah, and I think I responded to you with like, hey, man, just so you know, I've got your back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know that I can't fix your problems. I can't.
No, and but I know you don't have to tell me that. You know I know you got my back.
Yeah, well, but I'm going to do it anyway.
But here's the part of that that is, it really kind of helped the situation, was because I know you got my back. I know that. I know that anywhere I go, at any given point in time, anywhere I'm at,
yeah,
that you have my back. But to be that little subtle reminder, like, hey, I'm here for you. I got your back if you need anything. That little subtle reminder right there was like, you know, the light bulb's like, bing.
I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I'm not alone. And, man, look, I spent thirty-plus years feeling like I was by myself, even in relationships with you know, I had a wife and, you know, even in my current marriage, in the beginning especially, I felt alone. I felt by myself. I felt isolated. I did it to myself. I self-isolated a lot, yeah, because I didn't know how. I've always – the stuff inside of me has always scared people off. Right, like we talked, dude. So last on episode 21, we released a poem on TikTok that coincided with 21. Yeah. Right, I can't tell you how heavy that was to do, because of my experience in life. Because of what's inside of me scares people away, and it doesn't sound nice in the beginning. That whole thing doesn't sound good. But that's kind of the way I've always written. I always start negative but end high. I start low and end high, right?
Yeah. My mom asked me a lot of questions about that yesterday, too.
Really? Yeah. She should ask me. Oh, well, I wasn't there, but.
Yeah, that's what I told her. I kind of told her, gave her the backdrop of the whole story, but I was like, next time that you're around him, you need to kind of talk to him about some of his writing.
I got it all in. Well, not all of it. I've lost a lot over time, but I'm just saying, like, the point of the matter is I've always been afraid to be authentic, but I can't help but be authentic, right? Yeah. And that's why I always get the vibe. That's why I still, in my mind, I think people don't care for me. They're like, man, I don't want that dude around because he's just because of what comes out of me is not necessarily, again, you say it every time, I'm misunderstood, because people don't see it as though I'm coming from a place of love, man. They just come at, like, they assume I'm coming out of a place of judgment or hatred, yeah, or whatever, and I'm not, well, ever. Yeah. Ever,
you have to look at yourself through my eyes just for a brief moment, and you would realize that you're not as bad as you present yourself.
Yeah,
you're really hard on yourself when it comes to, like, you're terrible on yourself when it comes to first impressions.
Yeah.
Like, immediately, you already have it, and you talked about this with me yesterday. You got to quit letting the wheel play over and over that things are going to be bad.
Yeah.
And that's how you are when you first meet somebody. You're presenting yourself in a manner which already projects yourself as not being appreciated or liked. Mm-hmm. But that's what you do. But if you could see yourself from my eyes for just a brief moment, you'd realize that, no, this isn't necessary.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to stop doing it.
I know you're not. But,
but at the same time, like, again, again, sorry. Again, you got to think about, like, just like.
And
like,
that right there is why I love you.
This is. Well, but. Again, though, you think about all that conversation and what you just said to me, like, this is just an example of being in a relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
And I think that people think, when people think relationship, they really think about that partner yeah, relationship, like a marriage. We are in a relationship, brother. Like, yeah, it's not that kind of relationship, but we are in a relationship. Yeah, it's active. It's alive.
But that's also part of the reason that, like, the relationship status, like you were talking about, in Western society is dying.
Yeah.
Because, look, if we present ourselves to people that don't know us, people that can't see us.
Yeah.
And they don't know what anything about us. And we start talking about, that's why I love you. Like, blah, blah, blah. They're immediately going to jump to that conclusion.
Yeah.
This is not a bash. This isn't anything, but it's so common nowadays for men to be with men, women to be with women.
Yeah,
that is a presumption immediately.
Yeah.
So you take two red-blooded American males, heterosexual males, and you put them in a situation where they can look be possibly judged that way, mm-hmm. they're not going to say the same things that they would say to each other in close quarters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's, look, I'm not saying I'm a homophobe, but you saw how uncomfortable I got in Miami when that dude thought I was our sister's gay brother.
Yeah.
My big bobblehead self bebopping down the stairs, and he's all trying to hold my hand. I'm like, what is going on? Do you know what I mean?
It's an uncomfortable situation.
Yes, it was a very uncomfortable situation. Yeah. Not because
hey, you do he you, was boo-boo.
Gay.
Do your thing.
That had nothing to do with the situation. I was completely caught off guard.
Yeah.
But that totally changed the way I acted for the rest of the trip because I'm following them around like I could see how people would assume that about me. Yeah. The way I was following them around, like, my wife didn't look like she was my wife. It looked like possibly I was, like, just their
gay chaperone.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But that I think that when people look at it that way and they look at the possibility of being judged for something they're not, that totally changes the way that they approach any kind of relationship. Judgment scares people.
Yeah.
Judgment scares people. It doesn't matter what kind of judgment. If you're facing a legal judgment, that's terrifying. If you're facing a social judgment, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
If you're facing a spiritual judgment, that's terrifying. They're all terrifying.
Yeah.
But when you try to hide from that judgment by not being the person that you are or being with the people that you know are good for you, that's killing your relationships.
Yeah.
That's killing the way that you present yourself to people. That totally makes you a phony, a fraud. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's not what we set out to be.
Absolutely not.
100% we set out to be authentic. We say organic a lot, which is basically just to say natural.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We try to be 100% authentic and organic. And, you know, I think that what we're doing here, what we have been doing over the last, you know, was it? This right 25. Here is 25 episodes.
There's also several that.
There's a few others that I've never been released.
It's in the scratch book there.
And I still have them if we ever want to use it. But
I don't know about those.
I don't know about those. The first few that we did were real, 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 real raw. I mean, we had no idea what we were doing.
We were just learning. Like, we just recorded those just to see what it was going to feel like to record.
Yeah. Can you imagine? There's one, like the very first one we did is like 27 minutes. And I'm like, I can't even imagine us doing 27 minutes. I thought we were going to struggle today to fill time. And it's already, you know, at over an hour. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it gets easier and easier all the time. Yeah. But again, I think that we're not going to have an answer to the question right now. Right? We're not. But the question becomes, look, if God gives you the wisdom to recognize that there's something that isn't right or an adjustment that needs to be made, the question is, what do you do with that information? Look, information is great to have. It's no different than like at work, right?
Yeah.
You got information in your face that's telling you something's wrong. This is off. We're way off on these books. Something is off.
Yes.
The question is, what do you do with the information? Information is only as valuable as what you'll do with it, right? So,
well, if you could compare it to this. You know, we talked about our match being lit, like our flame being lit in our relationship. You know, like once the flame's lit, what are you going to do with it?
Yep.
Are you going to let it extinguish? Are you going to hold it till it goes out? Or are you going to light the torch?
Yep.
Are you going to light another torch?
Yep.
Are you going to keep that flame lit?
Yeah,
it's the same way.
I'm going to pour a pot of stupid on the crazy fire.
Yeah, exactly.
I got it right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's exactly right. And look, we love our relationships. We love our group. And I'm excited to go back to doing what we were doing before.
Leading into the word and
getting into God's word. And I think that. You know, last year when we started, I don't know if you remember, but I told y'all this is going to be a big year. Something big is coming out of this year, right? I bought y'all shirts and a couple of you Bibles and stuff like that. And I wanted y'all to have the same Bible I had because it's a men's Bible. Yeah. But, you know, I actually think that this there's something big coming out of this one, too.
Yeah.
This is, we're talking about, we're about to start back up this next week. I know you're going to be gone.
No, that's the...
You're going to be gone the first couple of weeks, but that's okay, right? You're getting.
I could actually, probably. Well, I can't say that because
don't.
I'm gonna say I could probably make Mondays, but that's I leave the following day.
Yeah, we already talked about that.
You know how that goes.
So we're all good. It is sad that you're not. I'm gonna miss you, bro. You're gonna be gone for like 2 weeks. It's not exactly 2 weeks, but like. My whole life is going to be different for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, because it is going to be it's. I'll be gone for 7 days, but it being in the middle of the week.
Yeah, you leave on a Tuesday and come back on a Tuesday.
Yeah, that totally disrupts our whole function. Yeah. I'm going to be gone from this for 2 weeks, and then I'm going to be gone from our group for 2 weeks.
Yeah. And then we won't really get to commune or see each other until Sunday, really. Yeah. And it's like, man, that's like weird because we see each other at least once a week here privately to do this. And then Sundays we always see each other. And then there's always something maybe in between.
Yeah, there's always something going on where we end up running into each other.
Right. And, you know, just being where you're going to be, I don't know how much cell service there's going to be there. I don't know because I text you every morning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because I always share with you what I'm going to put on our social media platforms and because I think you should see it. But yeah, it's going to be an odd couple of weeks for me.
I'll tell you, last year when we left, I had no problem with cell service. Yeah. But that was, I mean, that's right off the coast of Miami, basically.
That's the Bahamas, right?
Yeah. This is
Venezuela.
Down off the coast of Venezuela, yeah. So it's further from Miami to St. Lucia than it is from Amarillo to Miami.
Yeah, which is crazy.
It's crazy to think.
That's good distance.
It's, I think, 4 hours over water.
Well,
you flew way further.
We flew to Malta, but we flew from Denver to Germany, and the crazy thing is they go way up, and basically you're almost flying over the North Pole, you know what I mean? Like, you're not over land, but you're over ice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just, I guess I'm assuming that's to make sure they don't want to keep you over water forever, because if you got a ditch... Yeah. You don't want to ditch in the water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you got to take your plane, land your plane somewhere, you don't want to have to land it in the middle of the Atlantic.
But so I'm excited to get back to doing that. Look, The Chosen was great. I think it will bring a different perspective when we get back to regular Bible study. You know what I'm saying? I think that'll be good. These guys will have a different understanding because of that. And again, not everything in The Chosen is scriptural.
This will be Tanner's first
Bible study with us. Yeah.
Actually being in the Word. And I know he was really excited about it because he's talked about being ready to get back in the Word. But
yeah, I don't know where we're going to start. Nobody said. Nobody's given me any ideas. But
I got one for you.
You better bring it.
This one may be just as... I hope it ain't as terrible as the last episode ending.
Come on.
Why did the Invisible Man turn down a job offer?
I don't know.
He couldn't see himself doing it. Ridiculously stupid.
It is so bad.
Lay it out there for me.
I don't know. Seems right today. Anne Frank once said, "How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world."
Jeez.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, that is solid.
Yeah. And I think that that's what we do here. And our mission is to try and improve the world and improve each other. You know, I think that happens more than anything.
Yeah.
But the opportunity for people to hear and to recognize that there's still hope out there, man. This life is worth living. Get yourselves with people who are going to fight for you in rooms you're not in.
Yeah. I do want to just mention this before we close this out. Get your life, get your affairs in order, get your life right with Christ.
Yeah.
It's bad out there. It's bad out there.
The water is warm over here. Come on.
I hate to turn on my TV and see the things that are happening right now.
Me too.
If I could tell anybody out there anything in the world that would help them, get your affairs in order and get your life right with Christ.
All you got to do is turn to him.
That's it. For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I am Jason.
And I am John. See ya.